May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 574. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing, now, henceforth, and ever. In him a rich fullness dwells, and is freely given. Law and conscience Jesus quells, crooked things makes even. Hymn 574.
Thank you. From God's word, we will read from the gospel recorded by Matthew, the 28th chapter, and then in the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Matthew's gospel, the 28th chapter. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I've told you." They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." They came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. When they were assembled, the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. If it's come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We turn now to the opening chapters in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who bring the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth thee in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Let the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is a sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels have he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak? But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man? Thou art mindful of him. The Son of Man, thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again behold I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but you took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. May God's blessing rest upon his word of truth. May he help us now to pray. Most holy and almighty Lord God, grant now the spirit of prayer to descend upon us, the spirit of holiness upon us now as we come to worship thee. Give us, Lord, that respect, that sacred awe, thy holy presence, and appreciation for thy divine majesty, that realization of something of the greatness of the God who we now profess to draw near and worship. Grant, Lord, that we may have thy presence with us during the hours of worship today. Make us inner court worshippers. Grant, Lord, that it may be as the road to Emmaus, when thou didst draw near and go with those two disciples and make everything right which was before all wrong in their eyes. Grant, Lord, that there may be some heart burning this day. A revelation of Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies which bring us into thy house. For the mercies of thy word we've had the privilege of reading. Grant, Lord, that we may not neglect so great salvation, that we may take heed to thy word and walk under its precepts and divine commands. Grant us, Lord, divine direction in the way that we should go. Let thine hand be our protection from the might of every foe. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst visit this vine, call by grace those dead in sin. Grant, Lord, that light may dawn in hearts darkened with sin. Grant, Lord, that today might be the beginning of a work of grace in some heart. The first dawnings of the day. That promise of the full blaze of the sunshine in thy time. The first steps on the road to heaven. The first desire in the heart, which at last will end in glory. Lord, if it be thy holy will, grant that this day may be the day that several lambs may be born into the fold. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst establish and to strengthen and build up the faith of those already called by thy grace. Grant today, Lord, there might be a growth in grace. There might be deepening in the work. There may be an increase in faith, in hope, in love, in grace, an increase in every fruit of the Spirit. And for those who are at the end of the journey, grant, Lord, that preparation for that eternal worship in thy immediate presence, where congregations do not break up and where worship has no end. Prepare us here, Lord, for worship there. Do pardon and forgive our every sin. Lord, may we know what it is to have our sins purged by the blood of Jesus. May we be recipients of thy divine mercy and of thy great favour. Lord, may we taste of thy everlasting love and compassion. Pray thy blessing upon each who gathers here. Remember those unable to be here today. One in hospital, do visit her in her affliction. Draw near to her in her soul this day. May she know something of a precious Christ. Remember those who are away seeking rest and change, and any other unable to be here for whatever reason. Lord, draw in others to worship here, we pray. Fill the empty pews with those whom it is thy purpose to save, and thy purpose to feed under this vine. Bless those who are here. Bless those in the midst of life, with its burdens, cares, concerns, and needs. Grant help to parents to bring up children in thy fear. May they often be found praying for their children. And may they live to see those prayers answered. And in the busy cares and concerns and scenes of life, may the one thing needful in each heart be to know Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. Bless the children and the young people, guide them in life's early days. Put a hedge about them, call them by grace in their youth, and may they be useful in thy house in the years to come. Bless those in the evening time of life. Sanctify old age, weakness, weariness, bereavement, loneliness. And be with each one here this day. Be with those in trial and in trouble. May they know thy consolation and thy comfort. May they know thee to draw near to them in their trials and troubles. May they see thy deliverance. Be with those who need thee to open doors for them, those who need thee to provide for them, those who need direction in the way which they should go. Do bless the deacons of this cause and help them in their responsibilities, and bless each member of this church. Knit them together in love and union, and surround them with thy loving care. Remember the Sabbath school, and bless the labours there. May in the years to come it be seen that the seed was sown in what was learnt in the Sunday school. And now, Lord, we pray that thou would sow some seed here this morning, which it will be thy will to bear forth a copious harvest in thy time. Drive out Satan. May we be shut in with thee. May we hear thy voice speaking to us. And make us obedient children. And grant, Lord, thy blessing to rest upon the gatherings of thy saints throughout the whole world today. Fill each of thy servants with the glorious gospel of God. And pour out that gospel upon the hearers. And grant, Lord, that there may be today showers of blessing in the various congregations, which encourage and confirm thine inheritance when it is weary. And while on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Yeah. hymn 858. Backsliding souls, return to God. Your faithful God is gracious still. Leave the false ways ye long have trod, for God will your backslidings heal. Hymn 858.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn to the Gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 28, the second clause in the 19th verse. Matthew chapter 28, the closing words in verse 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The whole verse reads, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And this word was given to me to preach from today. The thing that more stood out was the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And it is that name which I want to preach on this morning. We may touch on baptism later, if the Lord will, but it is primarily my intention to speak of the glorious name of the Trinity, our blessed and glorious God. Our Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. The work of salvation was done, accomplished, and finished. The Lord was about to return to the right hand of the Father. But before he returns, he gives this great commission to his disciples and to their successors. As to how the church is to conduct themselves through the remaining ages of time. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Starts with a declaration that power belongs to Jesus Christ. And then it moves on to that exhortation that because power belongs to Jesus Christ, go ye therefore. The pattern here, it is quite clear in this text that our Lord was teaching believers baptism, not infant sprinkling. First, there must be the teaching. There must be a revelation, a realization of sin and of salvation. And then when that one is brought to faith in Jesus Christ and brought to trust in the name of Jesus Christ for salvation, then are they to be baptized. And then it doesn't end. The teaching continues right down to the end of the way. And then this promise, And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is how the Lord's ministers preach and baptize. This is how they go forth Sabbath by Sabbath, resting on this word, lo, I am with you always. Beloved friends, this is how you also should come to worship. How often a minister has to plead this promise. But do you ever plead that promise as you come to the house of God, that the Lord would be with you, that the Lord would bless you, that the Lord would reveal something of himself to you? He has promised he will be with his people, but he has also ordained that we are to pray and to ask him for that blessing. But here our gracious Saviour speaks of the name of God. He has revealed himself as God in three persons. One God, not three gods. There is one God. But there are three persons in that Godhead. All three persons are equal to each other. All three persons are equally God. All three persons are equally holy, equally pure, equally powerful. All three persons are filled with wisdom and with knowledge. All three persons are in all places in the universe at the same time. Have you ever considered just how great and how almighty God is? By his own power, by his own word, he formed this world out of nothing and the universe. He spake and it was done. By that power, through the ages of time, he has hung the world upon nothing. And it stays in its appointed place by the power of God. By his power, the seasons come and go. The sun rises and sets under his authority. By his power, the storm is raised and then stilled. By his power, one day, he will bring this time state to a conclusion. And we are told that the elements will melt in fervent heat. The heavens will depart as a scroll and on fire. In that day when the Lord, the righteous judge, will return to raise the dead and bring all before his judgment seat. The end of time. This God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost has the gracious ability to simultaneously observe all events of time as they are happening, with a perfect understanding of each event. He hears each conversation that takes place simultaneously. There must be millions of conversations that take place simultaneously throughout the world every day. He hears every one of them, and he has a perfect understanding of them. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All our times are in thy hand. All events at his command. But God has revealed himself here as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Ghost. Firstly, he's revealed himself as a Father. And child of God, this is for your encouragement. This is to strengthen your faith. This is to encourage you to ask of him great things. Those of you who are parents, naturally, there is that bond between you and your children, which is unique and special. A bond that you don't have with anyone else in quite the same way. And because they are your children, you have a care for them. You have a love for them. And that loving care is what influences your relationship with them. And so when they come and ask you for something which they need, they come on the grounds that they are your children. And it is your delight, is it not, to give them and to supply their needs, to supply them with food, with clothing, to guide them in life, to teach them right from wrong. And you have that care and that concern. They have a place on your heart which others who are not your children do not have. You don't have that same care over them. There is not that bond. Now, if there is this bond between a natural parent and their children, how much more is there a bond between God the Father and each and every one of his children? The Father has a great, almighty love and care for each and every one of his children. We speak often of the love and care of the Saviour, but the Father is equally caring and equally loving of his children as the Son is of his sheep. It was that care and that love that constrained thee, Father, to give thee Son, to be the Saviour of his children, and to give thee Holy Ghost to be the Comforter of his children. As our Lord himself said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Father is a willing giver. And this name, Father, reveals his nature. He is a holy Father. He is a pure Father. He is a righteous Father. He is a sin-hating Father. But the love he has for his children passeth knowledge. And passes understanding. I looked up this morning the first time that we read in Scripture of God referred to as Father. And it's found in Psalm 68. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, exalt him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. You see there the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God, that he is a father to the fatherless. He is a father to his children. And as such, child of God, you can come to God in prayer. And may your faith rise high, that you can come to him as your Father. To see that your Father reigns. To see that your Father rules. To see that your Father is in control of every event in your life. To see that your Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Yes, there will be times when that cup will have trouble. It will have sorrow, it will have difficulty, it will have trial. But if you see that it is your Father's hand that has prepared that cup, and if you are brought to remember that your Father is ever loving and kind and merciful, that will bring you to see that what he wills is surely best for you. That it is not given to you in anger. It is not given to you to destroy you. It is given to you in love. It is given to you to conform you to the suffering image of his Son. It is given to you to set your affection on things above. It is given to you to remind you you're not here forever. It is given to you that you might seek your treasure in him in heaven, not upon earth. The name of the Father. The hymn writer says, speaking on the love of God, long ere the sun's refulgent ray, primeval shades of darkness drove, they on his sacred bosom lay, loved with an everlasting love. The love of the Father is everlasting. It had no beginning. It will have no end. The love of the Father is immeasureless, is great. The love of the Father is unchanging and unchangeable. It cannot change. It's not just it doesn't change, it cannot change. That means, believer, that he has loved you with the same consistency, with the same warmth, with the same constant, bright, holy flame today as he did in eternity past when he chose you to be one of his children. And when you sin, his love does not diminish. When your love for him grows cold and weak and feeble and distant, the greatness of his love is such that it remains the same. There's your security, child of God, not in your love for God, but in God's love for you. The Father. He is a wise Father. He knows. He understands your case. He understands your need better than you do. And therefore, rejoice that you have the privilege of such a Father. And one of the reasons God has revealed himself not just as God, not just as King, but as a Father, is to encourage you to ask of him great things in prayer. If any one of us was to go to the Sovereign Queen and ask her for something, it is probably highly likely that that request would be denied on the grounds that she does not know us. We are her subjects, but she doesn't really know us. But if one of her children was in need and went and asked her for something to supply that need, that would be different. Why? Because she's not only their sovereign, she's their parent. So, believer, may you be enabled to come to God this morning as your Father and as your friend and ask of him great things. And those of you who do not feel to be among the children of God, come to God and ask him to show you that he is your Father. By supplying your needs and by showing to you by his answer to your prayers that he is your Father. If he is your Father, he will show you mercy. He will show you kindness. He will show you compassion. He will show you love. He will show you patience. He will direct you aright. If he is your Father, he will show you something of your great need of a Saviour. He will show you that you are a sinner, that you have done wrong. He will show you something of your danger if you carry on in sin. He will show you that all your needs can be richly supplied in Jesus Christ. Again, the hymn writer encourages us and he encourages coming sinners to come to the throne of grace. The vilest sinner out of hell, you can't get blacker than the vilest. You can't be more far off than the vilest. You cannot be more unworthy or undeserving than the vilest. You cannot be a greater sinner than the vilest of sinners. But even the vilest of sinners are not excluded from coming to God's throne and asking for mercy and asking for pardon, asking for forgiveness. You can still come as that vilest of sinner and find a welcome and find an acceptance with God. You may be the greatest sinner on earth, but God has greater mercy than all your sins. And if you want it in scriptural language, bring this scripture to God in prayer. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Then come to God as the chiefest of sinners. Tell him you are the chiefest of sinners. Tell him you are the most unworthy. But tell him that you have the greatest need this morning of his great salvation. And you'll prove what the hymn writer said, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace. That throne of which the Father is sitting on this morning hour with a fatherly heart is welcome to the throne of grace with Saviour's blood to plead. And the hymn writer goes on. Satan tells you you cannot come. Satan tells you you're too black, too vile, too guilty. You've gone too far this time to find a welcome. But the Lord delights to hear them cry and knock at mercy's door. It rejoices the heart of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to see that greatest of sinners come in with his greatest need to that throne, to that only place that can supply that need. And if you stay away, you will not have your need supplied. To where else can you go but to the throne of God for pardon, for mercy, for deliverance, for peace? The devil slanders God's heart and reputation to you. Rather than being angry with you for coming, the Lord delights to see you come. It rejoices his heart to see you come. And he will welcome you. Doesn't necessarily mean that he will answer you immediately. Sometimes he will make you wait, but he will answer. The Lord delights to hear them cry and knock at mercy's door. 'Tis grace that makes them feel their need and pray to him for more. Nor will he send them empty back, nor fright them from the door. The Father has in Jesus stored all blessings for the poor. The gospel is for the poor. It is for the needy. It is for the bankrupt. It is for that one with no hope in himself. The name of the Father. A faithful Father. But then, what of the name of the Son? The Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Equally God as the Father. The same power, wisdom, authority, might, holiness, knowledge are in him as much as they are in the Father. As Almighty God, he made the world. As Almighty God, when upon this earth, he walked on the waves to go to his disciples in their need. As Almighty God, he said, "Peace be still," to those waves. As Almighty God, he raised the dead to life. He fed the 5,000, gave sight to blind Bartimaeus, healed the leper, cast out the devils from the mad Gadarene, turned the water into wine, forgave the sin of that man who was let down on the roof by his friends. As man, he suffered. As man, he bled. As man, he died. As man, he was weary. As man, he slept. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians that this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have the form of God and the form of a servant. God the Son, in his Godhead, equal with God the Father, and equal with God the Holy Ghost also. And yet he willingly took upon him the form of a servant. He willingly lived as that man of sorrows. He willingly endured that contradiction of sinners against himself while upon earth. He willingly suffered the just for the unjust. Lines of the hymn. Can you come in here to the Lamb of God who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore the shame? Child of God, have you ever considered what it costs your Saviour to take your place, to bear the pain of feeling to be forsaken of his Father, to bear the pain of the almighty anger and the wrath of God poured out upon him, to bear the literal pain in his body, to bear the pain of the wicked as they surrounded him, mocking him, ridiculing him, spitting upon him, scourging him, nailing him to that cross. That pain of that loneliness as he felt that separation in his feelings from his Father. That shame that he felt of the guilt of the sins of his people. And beloved friends, have you ever considered this? As we are told in the scriptures, that the elect are an innumerable company, likened to the individual grains of sand on the seashore. You cannot number them, can you? How much greater then was the total sum of the sins of each one of those believers? A vast weight, a great debt, an immense load. And yet Jesus, in the sinner's place, for love's sake, bore that pain, endured that shame, that you, child of God, may have the right to call God Father, and to call the Lord Jesus Christ your Saviour, your elder brother, your advocate, your friend. The name of the Son He who is the only Saviour of sinners, the God-appointed Saviour, the perfect Saviour, the only way that you can find acceptance with God, the only way you can find a welcome into heaven, the only way you can find eternal peace, is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon that cross. There is no other way. No other name. No other blood. No other plea. No other hope. But this hope. The name of Jesus. The name of the Son. What a precious name he bears. What a worthy name he bears. What a holy name he bears. And what love has he shown to sinners to be willing to bear the sin and the punishment due against those sins which were sinned against him as God. When we sin, we don't just sin against the Father, but we sin against the Son and against the Holy Ghost as well. Never forget that. And yet the Son of God took that punishment himself. Amazing love. Was ever love like this? Have you ever been favoured to see Jesus in the sinner's place? Have you ever been favoured to see Jesus in your place? This is what baptism speaks of. It speaks of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. It speaks of the victory of Jesus Christ in him rising from the dead. And it is a declaration of that one who passes that way, that their hope, that their trust all resides alone in this precious Jesus and what he has done. And if your hope is built there, then it is your privilege, and it is a command for you to follow in that way. The name of the Son. Hear the blessed Redeemer call you. Listen to his gracious voice. Tread no ills that lay before you while you make his ways your choice. Jesus says that each believer be baptized in my name. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the stream. Unbelievers have no right to baptism. But have you ever thought of this, believer? Have you any right to refuse to walk in that way? You have here the Lord's own command that he gave before his ascension. May you then, for love's sake, getting a glimpse of him who suffered so much for you, may you be enabled for him, for love's sake, to show your love and your obedience to him, to follow in his appointed way, and you'll prove he will bless you in it. You will prove he'll help you in it. You'll prove he will uphold you in it. The name of the Son, that precious name. Time has gone this morning, so we must close. The Lord will, we'll continue in our meditation this evening on the name of God. May you be enabled to rejoice in this name. May you be enabled to flee to this name. And may you be enabled to find in this name a refuge, a shelter, a safe, secure hiding place for you to rest in life. And when that storm of death breaks, because this is the only hiding place, but it's a safe one. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And I close with this thought. Verse 19 is linked with 18. And you this morning who are exercised about this path, but you are held back by your own weakness and your own felt insufficiency, remember, all power is given unto Jesus. And he is not only able to uphold you, he is not only able to keep you from falling and bringing reproach and dishonor and shame on the name of Jesus. But as you venture forth, you will prove day by day that he's also willing. He's an able and a willing Savior. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £780, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service today. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman. Mr. Stephen Rosier will, God willing, preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Peter Decker next Lord's Day. Mr. Decker is the minister at Chilliwack in Canada. And our friends at St. Ives hold their anniversary service on Thursday. Let us close with hymn 527. What a divine, harmonious sound. the gospel trumpet gives, no music can with it compare, the soul that knows it lives. Hymn 527.
Thank you.
Lord, in thy mercy, show us our poverty, and show us that great Saviour, who is greater than all our needs, and who is well able to supply and to relieve poor coming sinners. May we prove indeed that the Father has in Jesus stored all blessings for the poor. Dismiss us now with thy blessing and take us under thy safe care. And may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, be with us and abide. Amen.